Hi, and welcome to Thinking Out Loud. This is Mariana.
And Elizabeth. Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. I feel like I haven't talked to you in forever. It hasn't really been forever. We just had to delay a little bit because it's conference time.
Yeah, we're starting to get all busy with that kind of stuff. Good old schedules need rearranging.
And just busy in general.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. Okay, I have to play. I have a show and tell, and it's a noise. Because my friend Leslie.
Is it a whistle?
No.
Is it a whistle?
No. But my friend Leslie went to New Zealand the other week. She was gone for like a couple weeks, and I was pretty jealous because, you know, New Zealand, and she like saw some of the Lord of the Rings like stuff and all
yes.
that. You know. So like super cool. But so she asked me what I wanted for a souvenir, and I can't answer people seriously with things like that. But so I was like, I want you to bring me back a kiwi bird because, you know, that's their national bird.
Yeah. And
listeners, if you've never seen a kiwi bird, you should go look one up right now. They're pretty darn amazing.
Hey, we'll put a picture in the show notes. Yes, because your cats would love that.
Right. Well, I think it's kind of big enough to give the cats a little bit of a make them nervous. But anyways, so she didn't bring me a live kiwi bird because, you know, stuff like that is kind of, if she had, I probably wouldn't be admitting it on the podcast anyways.
I was going to say, yeah, she'd be, you'd be keeping that.
But she brought me this amazing stuffed one, and listen.
Ooh. It's like having one in real life. I like it.
Isn't that adorable?
What does Tag think?
He doesn't mind. He's just laying there on the floor like, oh, God, she's playing with that toy again.
She's doing that thing. Oh, my dogs would eat it. They couldn't take it. So Ben has a little play mat.
Yeah.
You know, where you do the thing. So he has a little bird that you squeeze it and it chirps like that. The dogs are like, just tell me when I can eat that. I will eat it. And he has another one that squeaks.
That's funny. Oh, they're probably like, those are our toys. Give them
yes,
to
please
us.
Share. So in the meantime, they've eaten three stuffed animals that they haven't. And I'm sure it's from frustration of not being able to eat those things that they really want.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
Willie thinks it's his mission in life to get squeakers out of stuffed animals. I mean, who else is going to do it if he doesn't do it?
Well, Tag, he's funny. He doesn't actually go for the squeakers, but he does like to like rip all the stuffing out of things and like chew the legs off of things. So, you know,
yes.
If I have a stuffed toy that is mine, I have to put it somewhere where it's not accessible. Because if it's accessible, then it's his. But you have a baby that goes on the ground. So that's kind of harder.
Right. So you have to kind of mark out territories, you know, like, nope, this is the baby's area.
That's
so
funny.
I make them. Willie keeps – it's funny because they'll lay down and then they'll kind of army crawl closer and get their nose on the edge of his mat or his blanket, whatever, you know, he's playing on.
Uh-huh.
And you have to be careful because once they get their nose on there, you know, they're testing the boundaries of, well, I mean, if I can have my nose on here, then surely I can borrow this toy real quick.
Uh-huh. That's funny. They're so cute and like, we're just creeping in. This is how it works.
No, I'm just snuggling with the baby. I'm just checking on the baby.
I feel like that's what Tag does when we're eating too, though.
Yes.
He's like, well, I'm just sitting nice and close to you. Look, I just
barely have my
it.
Nose on the table
exactly.
or the chair.
Exactly. Ugh.
I mean, this isn't really not allowed, is it?
Exactly.
And if I stick my tongue out just a little bit, it's just because I'm licking my lips, not mm-hmm. because I'm trying to get something off the edge of the plate.
Right, exactly. That's so how it goes. Oh my gosh. And our dog has a really long nose. Like,
Yeah, like Willie's. So what was yesterday morning I was feeding the dogs and oh my gosh, they went at each other.
Really?
Waylon walked by and sniffed Willie's food bowl just to see if he had any wet food in there or if his was only dry food too. And Willie did not like that.
Aww.
I mean, they just had to get it out of their system, I guess. But they knocked over the whole food bowl. It was really loud. Oh, it was scary.
That's horrible. You're like, okay, so
good morning, time change morning.
Right. Stop, everyone. Stop.
Like, all right, to your separate corners. Because we don't feed them. And Waylon, when we first got him, he had so much food insecurity because he had been on the streets that, we had to work really hard on that with him.
And now it was Willie that got insecure.
Well, Waylon was pushing his boundaries.
Mm.
He was in, his nose was in Willie's food bowl.
Well, so, I mean, I'm not trying to say that, there's a better or worse thing going on at all. But like in our house, like I have to chase the cats away from the dog's food bowl. And mm-hmm. we have to make sure that everybody eats like right away. Like there's nothing that right. stands because otherwise the cats will eat the dog's food. And like he'll be sitting there, with his nose in the bowl and there's a cat like about to go in and eat his food.
Oh, yeah. And then of course they're going to snap.
He doesn't. He just lets him eat it.
Oh, and then he doesn't eat.
And I'm like, this is not okay.
And then he comes over to you and he's like, Mom, the cat ate my food again.
Yeah, and the cat's all fat and distended belly. I'm like, this is not cool. So I have to be very vigilant to make sure my dog gets all his food, gets all his calories, and make sure my cats don't get extra calories.
Extra dog food, yeah. So that's, and I think it's, I think it was the time change too. I mean, everybody was just a little grumpy at our house yesterday.
Oh, poor.
Except Ben, who just slept and slept and slept. He's like, I don't know what time it is. I'm going to sleep.
That would be so nice. I think I'm going to try that today.
That's the best way to handle it, I think.
Yeah.
Just sleep at weird times because the time's weird anyways. And then you'll readjust, I guess.
Exactly. So speaking of doing things at weird times, what were you doing last week that we couldn't record on time?
Well, I guess it's not a weird time. So I had a conference that I went to.
Yeah.
Okay, so this was a writer's conference. So I was there not as a writer, which I've only gone to writer's conferences as writers, actually. But they invited me as a publisher because they had appointments where you could consult an editor or a marketing person or a publisher, about your manuscript or, I guess, life in general or, whatever. So I had 15-minute slots where I just met different authors.
Nice.
Fascinating experience. Yeah. So I was an expert. I was a faculty member. Are you proud?
That's fantastic, and I'm totally proud.
So this was the first time I was going to this conference. So it wasn't that I was going, I didn't teach a class. A lot of the faculty took appointments one day and taught sessions the next day. But, this was my first time going. So I just took, and I couldn't go for the whole conference because I had something else on Saturday. So I just went on Friday for the day and just had conferences all afternoon.
Wow.
15-minute sessions back to back to back to back to back.
Wow.
Fascinating.
Any like interesting prospects as far as like?
Yes. Very interesting. I'm really excited. I thought I was looking back because I was doing my 2015 books and I was like, gosh, March, April, May, June, July. Those were all really busy for publishing. And I've been thinking, what's going on in March this year? And Sam and I have been talking about that because, in the consulting world, which is technically what we are in, then, you have these weird peaks and valleys.
Yes. It's feast or famine.
Feast or famine. Yes. So, you think, and we've done this again and again where I'm like, okay, I have figured it out. January, February are going to be terrible. And then it's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. And then you get to that. The next year, and January and February were awesome. And you're like, wait a second. I don't get it.
Yeah.
So it really is feast or famine, and it doesn't always happen that you are in the same feast phase at the same time every year.
Right.
And so it's this kind of awkward living of, oh, gosh, okay, let me change the sheets again or do the laundry again because I haven't been hearing back from any of my emails or two things didn't go through that I was really sure were going to go through.
Yeah.
And so let me back up, let me rethink, let me repitch, and those kinds of things.
Well, I think so. I was just going to say that, like, you have, like, I mean, neither of us technically has been doing this long enough to really see trends in our patterns yet, right? Like, we've been doing this for a while. Last year to pair.
Yeah.
To right. Pair. But yeah, so, like, we have some more years to get behind us before we're like, oh, this time of year is like this because trends. Right now we're like, oh, last year was this way.
Exactly.
Next year will be, oh, wait, maybe not.
But it's funny because you have to have the flexibility. Like, this conference came up and I was like, maybe I shouldn't go because I have a full day conference for church stuff on Saturday. That's a little too much. Maybe it's not a good idea. Maybe it's not worth my investment. Well, I went and I got to sell books, mm-hmm. and then I got a whole new kind of market of people who I hadn't been interacting with because I had never been to this conference before.
Nice.
And so they all kind of knew each other. And then here I was, the outsider. And it was a really great experience, actually. So I talked to a lot of people, a lot of authors who were telling me, well, I've been published before, but I have these other two projects that I've been working on and they just haven't gotten any traction.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had it with an agent. I've sent it to publishers to the point that I've sent it to publishers and said, okay, I haven't heard back from you. I'd really like to submit this somewhere else. And they've said, okay, go ahead. And then I hear from them immediately that says, yeah, sure, send it somewhere else.
Right. And you're like, great.
You're like, why couldn't you have just told me that before? So I told them, I said, here's the thing, is that it might have nothing to do. It might be something having to do with your writing.
Okay? Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Could be.
But it could be based on the fact that you aren't with the right publisher. You know, they're not interested in that. Or the publisher likes the story but has to develop a whole new market and doesn't want to put the resources into developing a market so this actually sells.
Mm-hmm.
So you might want to look for a publisher that publishes similar things or has already a developed market.
Right.
Or it could be they have too many submissions for this year or that they're overcommitted from last year, so they're not taking enough submissions. And I was explaining there's so much else that could be going on besides the actual writing.
Right.
To say, you know, to be the reason why you haven't been picked up yet.
And they, you still just don't see know that, they, which I think is so weird.
Well, yeah, because you automatically take it personally, right? Because right. The only thing that you have experience of is writing. And so people don't know the publishing side of things so well.
Right.
And so they don't know what it takes to publish or what goes through a publisher's brain
the
when
whole
they
process.
Actually look at a manuscript.
Yeah.
And so I kind of explained what we're doing at Harrelson Press about the ebook market that we were developing, about the fact that there are some genres that do better in ebooks, so we don't even really discuss print runs with authors who are
right
in
away,
those genres,
yeah.
Unless they're really short runs based on the audience the author has already developed, because we know those are going to sell immediately.
Right.
So then I was talking to some other authors who had been traditionally published and had self-published, but were wanted to go back to traditional publishing. And it was amazing to me. These authors, and this is pretty unique, I think, for writing conferences, at least that I've been to, the majority of these authors had completed manuscripts.
Mm-hmm.
And there were two or three that were working on some. So the other thing I ran across was really bad marketing advice.
Yeah, I think you sent me a text about that the other
day.
I
did because I couldn't take it. I couldn't take it. I had to tell somebody about what was going on, about the injustice of it all. So there was this person who was a blogger who was accepting guest submissions for blogs and was asking some of the authors to do this. And she said, I can't pay you, but I can promise you get this many hits.
Uh-huh.
And exposure.
Right.
And I was like, please come to me after her so I can tell you, don't give away your work for free, please.
That's awesome.
Even if it's a lady who is at a writer's conference who seems to be interested in helping you out.
Well, I guess like...
It's a trap.
The point is that sometimes people can make that choice and decide to do that if they think it's what's best for them, but they need to know all of their options first. So
exactly. So the other thing I ran into is, this is funny. Uh-huh. So I've kind of gotten the reputation of a social justice press.
Uh-huh.
You know, well, I've published women authors. I've published stories of the forgotten women of the Revolutionary War. You know, these women who were holding down the fort while the men were off gallivanting. No, they were fighting.
I know. I'm like, it's not gallivanting.
But the armies would show up at their homestead, right? Armed and threatening that if they weren't fed, then they would kill their children.
Yeah, okay. I've seen Gone with the Wind. I know how it goes.
Oh, Revolutionary War, though.
Right, but so it's...
But that happened in the Civil War, too, yeah.
Yes.
Yes, so, you know, so bringing to light these forgotten stories of the women who were involved, and also what it took during the Revolutionary War time period just to do life, you know, like having to churn butter and sew and all these things I can't do.
Right.
Gracious, we even have sewing machines and I still can't sew. I mean, it's a lot easier, right? And KitchenAid mixers and I still can't make butter, you know?
Aww.
Like you don't even have to hand churn it anymore. We have better tools and still I don't do those things. I buy the butter from the grocery store. That's what I do. So bringing to light those things, but also, you know, our women's self-defense book that has stories of abuse and then also practical advice for how to train yourself to be a strong woman in this world where molestation, domestic violence, and all of these things exist.
Mm-hmm.
So this one person was telling her story and somebody else said, you know, I don't know many publishers who would touch that, you know, because of the delicate nature of the story.
Uh-huh.
But I think she might. She points to me and I'm like, oh, yeah, that sounds great. And let's publish that.
That's awesome. You're like, I will.
Yeah. But it reminds me of how many times people get told that their story's not good because it's a story that is controversial in some way.
Right. Where you know, what they're really trying to say story. Is it's not for them again. And the reason it's not for them is because it makes them uncomfortable. But like that's hard for to translate.
Right. But we've heard stories of this from authors who have rape scenes in their novel or they have molestation or sexual harassment. These things that exist very prevalent in the world.
Yeah.
That people don't want to read about. They don't want to talk about. They don't want to acknowledge. And so, no, that's too graphic. You can't include that.
Well, whoever that is needs to go visit either George Martin's publisher or Toni Morrison's publisher.
Because... But Toni Morrison's getting some kickback and is getting on a banned book list now.
Yeah. Yeah, but that has nothing to do with... I mean, that has to do with other things that I'm not even going to name here because we don't need to have that argument.
No, but that's another very real thing that if you write something that's controversial, you could end up on a banned book list, which I tell people is the greatest kind of marketing there is, actually.
It's pretty true. I think if you end up on the banned book list, you actually might get to be best friends with Neil Gaiman. So, like... Because he's a huge advocate for banned books.
and if Neil Gaiman's promoting you, I mean, let's talk about it.
I know. That's what I'm saying. So, like, you might as... I don't know. You have to write what the story is. And it doesn't... I mean, I guess it depends on what the story is, too. So, I don't know.
Right. So, this was one of the interesting things that I got reminded of at this... at this conference that there are publishers out there who are saying, no, we want nice, happy stories.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's so many people who don't want to be confronted with the realities of the real world. And I think, so I had a kind of a crash day yesterday afternoon where I was like, okay, I've got to sleep. I've got to drink water. I've got to do these things that you forget to do when you get busy, you know? When you're running around and you're like, oh, my water bottle's empty, but I don't have a place to fill it back up. So I was thinking about this because, at least in mine and Sam's very personal circles, we've had some very unexpected death and sadness and, mm-hmm. you know, just all of this stuff that confronts you when you're an adult in the real world. But, you know, there are lots of kids who are dealing with the same thing. And I think about how, as parents, the tendency is to shelter kids from this reality,
mm-hmm.
you know, to create this kind of fairy tale existence for our kids instead of, no, you know, there's hurt and pain in this world and you will experience it in somebody close to you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, connecting that back to my experience, I'm like, no, you need to write this story.
Yeah.
You need to write this story. And, you know, the people were saying to me, but it's really painful. I said, okay, well, maybe you need to write this character and tell her story instead of making it a memoir, you know, change the genre so you can get some distance from it because perhaps you want to go there to write through this experience, but you can't make it you who's experienced that.
I totally have a client that I'm working with on that very thing. Like, she's like, I want to tell these stories from my life, but I don't want to tell them from my life. And I was like, well, then let's write a novel.
Yeah. So this links back to the ghostwriting project that I'm really super excited about. So at first I thought it was a memoir project, but so we got halfway through our first session and I was like, how is this going to go with getting permission? Like, I don't think some of these people are going to agree to have their story told. Mm-hmm. And she looked at me and she goes, no, this is fiction. So I thought we could, you know, embellish this a little bit and do this. And it's like, oh, this is fiction. Uh-huh. This is awesome. Yes, this is going to be great. I'm so excited. Let's do this.
Nice.
Yeah. So
sweet.
You know, she was.
So
she
you
was
had
saying,
a productive weekend then between, or a week last week between ghostwriters and this conference.
I know, right? And actually this week is, I'm not as booked in meetings, so I'm hoping some of those contacts come through so that I can start working on those projects too.
Nice.
You know, in the midst of Lent and Easter coming up, why not?
You might as well.
Oh, and did I tell you I'm moving on from that job after Easter?
Yes. Did you tell us on here?
Oh, did I tell you, listeners? Maybe I just told Elizabeth.
Maybe you told me. But yeah, so you're moving on and you're moving on to new and, well, I won't say better things because I don't want to insult anybody, but you're moving on to new things and a new phase in life. Yay!
I am indeed. That includes ghostwriting and maybe more ghostwriting from this conference.
And
I'm pretty excited about
helping your fellow podcaster publish a couple of books this year.
So, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A couple of books. That sounds exciting.
Well, I mean, there's one that is mine, but I think we have a joint venture going on, don't we?
Oh, we do. We do. That I have been poorly. I have like, well, what, maybe 200 words written in my portion of it.
I think that's more than I have. So we just have to sit down and make a timeline so that we can do this.
We're going to have deadlines. I'm going to have deadlines.
Yeah, yeah. We can work with it. I think we can do this.
But, oh yeah, so our listeners should know that we are writing a book together about the publishing and editing and everything experience based on what we've learned, because what we've learned is that, at least combined, we have some pretty good knowledge.
Yes.
Actually, Elizabeth could write this book by herself. She's just being very gracious and allowing me to write just a little bit as well.
No, we're going to have a good old time with this thing, I think.
Oh, I think it's going to be awesome. Yes.
So yeah, be on the lookout for that, listeners, because it's coming.
Yeah, we're after Easter, I'm going to be much more dedicated.
Yeah, well, I can't even believe Easter is as soon as it is. When you mentioned that earlier, when we were talking about schedules, I was like, wait,
what?
It's like 2 weeks from now. Oh my gosh,
it is. How crazy is that?
That's ridiculous. I tell you, the time, it goes by too fast.
It does. Especially when you know spring forward and you miss an hour.
Right? Oh my gosh.
Just because people in the government can say that we're going to spring forward and skip an hour? Not sure about that. Yeah. If you haven't seen, Sam is protesting this. Or I've seen a nice campaign that this should occur on Friday at 4 o'clock.
Wouldn't that
skip
be nice?
On to 5 o'clock.
Sunday morning. Yeah, we'll be all right. We'll deal.
Okay, so I did want to talk a little bit about, since we were talking about ghostwriting and freelancing and all those things, I was thinking that some of our audience might want to know that resource that you sent me.
You mean the Editorial Freelancers Association?
I do mean the Editorial Freelancers Association.
Well, so the Editorial
Tell us about the Editorial Freelancers Association.
It's actually a super cool resource for people who are editing, or also people who are authors as well who want to do freelance work. Because it has a lot of information for people on both sides of that coin. You have rate charts for all kinds of anything you could want. If you're a writer and you need to figure out whether or not you're being charged a fair rate for editing services, you can look there and see. Or if you're an editor and you're like, what in the world do I charge people? You can also look there and like get a ballpark and then figure out what you should be charging based on, you know, the demand for your services and the quality or the time that you have to put into it, that kind of thing.
If you have somebody who is giving you a hard time about the rates you are charging.
Yes, you can forward them the list and just say, look, this is where I fall within the average of what's going on. So chill. because that's happened to me more than once. Anyways, so there's that. Plus they do like, they're having a conference this year and they do, webinars and things like that for all kinds of different, things like freelance writing or, copy editing, or I think I took a webinar on, self-publishing from the editor's perspective and from the writer's perspective as well, which was interesting. And parts of it I agreed with and parts of it I didn't, and parts of it I didn't know. And anyways, it was a really good experience as far as like getting more information. And then it also has a networking aspect that is really huge because there are different chapters that meet all over the country. And so you can, if you don't even have to be a member of the Editorial Freelancers Association to go to the meetings, but you can just like look up where they have meetings, see if there's one near you and go meet some people who are in the business of writing and publishing things. And the more contacts you make, the better, I think. So it's good for that. And if you pay the fee for the year, then you can have yourself listed in their directory, which I'm listed in the directory. And it just makes it easier for me, like getting clients. I've had, I think, a couple clients come through there every year that I've been on there, and that pays for my, you know, my subscription to it, my membership. And it's just, I don't know, it's a really good resource as far as like being networked and being known and meeting people in the industry and all kinds of resources. So it's theefa.org, theefa.org.
And it's linked in our show notes. Our show notes are at Thinking Out Loud 103.
Yeah. Wow, yeah. 103 already. But yeah, so I passed you that information, I think, when you were talking about meeting with this ghostwriting client. Because we all have to figure out what we're doing. So
exactly. And to know if you're undercharging or overcharging or if you're about right. Elizabeth and I have both said that their rates seem a little bit high to us based on our markets, but hey, go for it.
Right. Well, and you know, that's what it's worth, you know, figuring out, you know, are they high and you feel like you need to charge less, but that should also still make your,
it should actually help your case.
Right. It should make your market better because you can be like, hey guys, look, I don't charge as much as this guy over here. So,
And you had sent me this before, but I didn't save it. And so, and I don't think we've mentioned it on here, so I think this is very helpful. It also has the rates divided by medical or technical trade or grant proposals and those kinds of things.
Right, exactly.
And it has it per hour and per word, so that's great.
Mm-hmm. So you can decide which way you want to quote people on that. And yeah, it's a super resource. I can't speak highly enough. Actually, when I first started freelancing, I dived in with they were just starting a new chapter in Connecticut of the editorial freelancers. And so I dived in with them and got a lot of good experience. I mean, between like meeting people who had been freelancing a lot longer than me, which was also good because I could ask questions and they were totally happy to, you know, answer my questions and help me figure things out as I was just starting out. Then like also like I found where I could share some of my resources with them and I could get some experience for myself. So like, you know, I was with a demographic of people that were a lot older than me, and they're trying to navigate social media and things like that. And so my friend Faith and I from that group, we made a joint presentation on the different kinds of social media and how they can benefit you in your marketing and in your client interactions. And, you know, we talked about Facebook and LinkedIn and blogging and Twitter and, you know, all these things. And it was really good experience for me actually to be up in front of a group of professionals and talking about something like that, and then be like just in realizing what I know and what I can share, which is still ongoing. So I'm a little less active with the group that's here in the California area only because it's in Sacramento, which is like 25-minute drive, and I don't have a car usually until later in the evening because we only have one car in our family and I work at home in Davis. So I'm just kind of like not bound to the house because I can bike around Davis and do everything I want to do, but like I just can't get to Sacramento like I would like to. So
but you also have a good community through your NaNoWriMo, you know?
Yeah.
You might make that trek if you were feeling like a lonely island out there, lonely Kiwi bird, you know, stuck in California instead of New Zealand.
And I have done that in the past too. And I still do stuff with the editorial freelancers. Like when they have events, I volunteer and go to different events with them, which has been really like useful for me too. Not just from the standpoint of passing out my business card, but because I can do that too. So, but then, you know, I just like most of the people I connect with online, and then, you know, I focus on other things here that are face-to-face, like the NaNo thing. I've been kind of building that up. So, and speaking of that, 2 weeks until camp starts, guys,
pack your bags.
I've been
wash your sleeping bag.
I've been setting up with the group here to do, we're not going to do any face-to-face, well, maybe like one face-to-face gathering in April, but yeah, so like putting stuff like that together so that we can work on our projects because, you know, November is not the only time that people need to work on projects. So,
right. So tell us a little bit about how Camp NaNoWriMo differs from NaNoWriMo in November.
So camp is better because it's much more relaxed. There's no limit, word limit. You get to choose your word limit. And they're not so strict on the, you know, you have to be working on a novel. You can work on anything. So if you need to work on your thesis project, or if you are really writing a memoir or right, exactly, then you can sign up for camp and be part of that. And they have what they call cabins at camp, which are little like forums, chat rooms. That so you sign in and you pick a cabin, and then like I have a private cabin, so I have people from my NaNo region that, you know, signed up with me and are in my cabin, so I know the people that I'm chatting with this time. But sometimes, you know, you can also choose to work with strangers and meet new people that way as well. But again, it's time to be encouraged.
So can you be in more than one cabin?
No.
Okay, so maybe
regions with Nano, you can be in multiple regions at the same time, but with camp,
right?
Yeah.
Well, I was gonna say I could set up a thinking out loud cabin.
You could do that, but I have a cabin set up already, which there are places left in if you would like to be part of.
Well, maybe we'll talk about that if you want. If you want to set up a thinking out loud cabin, I'm happy to do that. Because Elizabeth and I are going to talk.
Yeah.
And figure it out. I'm setting a goal for, hold on, I got to do the math, and I can't do the math right now. Not enough coffee for
Well,
math.
we can talk about what our camp goals are next week, or whatever goals we have. They don't have to be.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. So we'll write that down, people. We're going to talk about that next episode. We'll talk about what our summer goals
are. Although we have given ourselves 2 weeks until it actually starts so that we could remember this time or next time. So
exactly.
That's good for us.
We can do this.
We can do it. You know, the other good thing about camp is camp's a good time to renew all of those New Year's resolutions about
it's
writing.
It's true. It's very true. I mean, I don't know anybody who has like allowed those to fall off the wayside or anything.
Or our 100-day challenge that we've done. Actually, I have been writing at least 100 words every day, but sometimes I can't post what I'm writing because, you know, it's ghostwriting and those kinds of things.
I know. I get that. Yeah. So.
But I will say in 2016, my writing habits have greatly improved.
Nice. I think I would like to say mine have as well, except that like I've been doing a lot more revising than actual like content creation this
year. I think
year.
That counts.
But I think it counts too.
That's
because
part of writing.
It's a, still like, I mean, I get up at least 3 times a week, like an hour early, and sit and stare. I mean, even this morning, which was also part of the pain of like the time changes. I was like, dang it, I'm getting up an hour early to work on my novel this morning. And then I was like, I could just sleep in. No, I have to work on it. So discipline, getting up, doing work. But anyways.
And you really do have to build that into your schedule in some way.
Yeah.
And you have to, I think you have to do it pretty regularly and say, okay, well, creating an environment in some way that is conducive to that is really important.
Yes.
Whether it's going to a coffee shop, like your, what was it? A 40-day challenge or something?
Wait, I don't, oh, like my 30 days of, yeah.
Oh, 30-day challenge. Yeah, where you said I'm going to go work somewhere else.
Right.
You know, implementing some of these things that can kick you into gear. Okay, if it's not working when you get up an hour early, okay, well, I know I can go to this place where I've been successful in writing before.
Right, exactly.
And so I can create this environment.
Getting up early is not the only way to do the writing. Sometimes, you know, if that is not going to work for you, then figure out what does.
Yeah, you still have the rest of the day to try to make up that time.
Exactly.
Don't give up. Keep going. Try again.
You can do it.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Okay. So immediately the theme song from Lego Friends came into my brain.
That's funny.
You can do it. Help is on the way.
I wouldn't know what that is because I have no children and I just wouldn't know.
Okay. So when I was growing up, there were no boy and girl Legos. There were just Legos.
Yes. Us too.
And,
we had a big
and there
tub.
Were, yeah, sure. There were Legos that had specific themes. There were some Star Wars Legos and different things like that. But now there's a whole separate world that's created called Lego Friends. The boxes are pink and purple, and they have different characters.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It is very interesting because, you know, on our music soundstage, sometimes Darth Vader appears.
That's awesome.
Because we have Lego Friends, but we also have Star Wars Legos.
Yay.
Yoda can carry a beat, let me tell you.
I bet. That's hilarious.
So it is kind of funny, but, you know, the way they've remarketed some of these things.
Yeah.
To help sales continue.
Although, is it helping their sales anymore? I feel like people are, they complain about boy and girl Legos now, so.
Yeah, but those people aren't buying Legos anyways.
Well, no, that's not entirely true either. But Anyways. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Ah, Legos.
Legos. But you, yeah, we can talk about, we still haven't really talked about gender stereotypes in writing.
No, I think or that's probably a topic for another day.
Well, that's going to be a happy hour show, probably.
Probably. We need a couple of drinks in us before we open up about that stuff.
Not a coffee show.
Right. Yeah, where my brain is not quite functioning yet.
There's got to be a difference. Well, what about, I think we've caught up. Have we caught up on the conferences on ghostwriting?
It sounds like it.
But not on reading. What are you reading?
So actually right now I'm beta reading a novel for a friend, which Ooh. Is, it was an interesting decision to make because, I mean, I'm not a professional beta reader, right? But like I'm an editor, so I see stuff before it's beta ready, usually. But so like figuring out the balance of what am I doing for free versus what am I doing for not free, but it's not even that. It's not that it's for free because the reason I'm beta reading for you, my friend Karen, is that I'm hoping that she'll read mine when it's done. So I was
an exchange of goods.
So yes. So I will read yours because I'm going to force you to read mine anyways, but so, yeah, so I'm beta reading and it's going pretty well so far and I'm taking notes for her and she's freaking out along the way of, oh my gosh, do you like this? Is it good? And I'm just like, just let me finish it and we'll talk about it and it's fine. And you know, that's how that goes. I'm sure I'm going to be a rank mess when I finally hand this whole novel to somebody to give me a reaction. So
you know,
yeah, I'm sure I am.
Are you reading anything else?
Right now I'm not actually. What have I been doing? Watching Star Trek episodes.
Good. Yeah.
and then reading this novel and then doing random other things. Like I went to see Book of Mormon the other night. So that's keeping me busy. It's taken away from my reading time.
I like it, but that's good. I'm reading Pastrix, The Cranky Beautiful Faith of a Sinner and a Saint.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's by an author named Nadia Boltzweber. Mm-hmm. She's a Lutheran pastor and has started a church called The House for Sinners and Saints. No, The House for All Sinners and Saints. So she's a recovered drug addict, has tattoos all up and down her arm, and is a pastor.
Nice.
Which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. I feel like the tattoos up and down your arm thing is getting to be a lot more normal, like commonplace.
For women, you know? Pastors, though?
Well, just for people in general.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But yeah.
Yes, yes. So it's really good. I think you'd like it.
Would
Even
I?
Even you. Even you.
I don't know. I might be a little bit more critical of it than you think, but.
That's okay. As long as what you're reading sparks good conversation and thoughtfulness.
That's true.
It's worth reading, in my opinion.
That's true. I got Noah a book the other day, and now I'm going to have to try to remember the... Can you hear my leaf blower, guys?
Oh, yeah. Could you hear my recycling truck?
Yeah. Sorry about that.
It's Monday.
It is Monday.
I think this is why we don't record on Mondays.
I am pretty sure. I'm pretty sure it is. Okay, Where are my orders? Because I wanted to tell you what this book was that I got for Noah that I think is pretty interesting. I'm kind of excited to read it too. There it is. It's called At the Existential Cafe, Freedom, Being, and Apricot Cocktails with Jean-Paul Sartre, Simone de Beauvoir, Albert Camus, Martin Heidegger. Like, it's a whole bunch of existentialists.
That's hilarious.
Philosophers. So, and the cover is kind of funny looking, but yes, but actually, it's been fairly well reviewed so far, and Noah read like the excerpt from Amazon, and he was like, "This looks so interesting." So,
oh my gosh! Okay, so this is really interesting. If you go to Amazon and you put that in of the suggested books that come up at the bottom, you know?
What comes up for you?
The Violent Hour, The Stone Reader, A Modern Philosophy, Better Living Through Criticism.
I don't have, so I have The Stone Reader in the customers who bought this item also bought, but then I have How to Live.
Yeah, I got that one too.
And Evicted.
I don't have Evicted. I have War
Which is
Music.
Poverty and Profit in the American City. That actually looks really interesting. And then 7 Brief Lessons on Physics.
Oh, yeah, there's Evicted. Yeah, it's the same thing. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
A Doubter's Almanac. That looks pretty good.
I think it looks really interesting. Oh, The Violet Hour. There it is. Yeah.
Dark Money, The Hidden History of the Billionaires. Ooh. But isn't it funny when you go into a new genre how you you can encounter all these other books?
Yeah, but I kind of like that actually, because
me too.
I mean, although customers who bought this also bought doesn't really tell you if
it's an algorithm. There's no, I mean.
Right. It doesn't tell you if the book is any good. It just, you know, it's a sales thing, but
still, it exposes you to books like I've never seen most of these books. So
right. So now you can look at those titles and think about it. Amazon, you crazy, crazy place.
I know it.
Anyways, so that's where we're at right now.
So if people want to talk to you about, you know, crazy books, Amazon, Kiwi Birds.
Yeah.
Or editing. Where could they find you?
You can find me on the web at www.writingrefinery.com or at elizabethkaufman.com. Either one of those you can contact me through. Writing Refinery is for editing, and Elizabeth Kaufman is my author website. And then you can find me on Facebook and on Twitter and on Pinterest and on Goodreads, all at Writing Refinery. And I'm happy to chat with you about all kinds of awesome things.
And if you want to talk about publishing, traditional publishing, self-publishing, dual endeavor publishing, or how sometimes you get bad advice at writers' conferences, you can talk to me at haroldsonpress.com, at haroldsonpress on Twitter, and haroldsonpress on Facebook. You can also find me blogging at mariana.net. Look at us putting in our own personal stuff.
Aren't we fancy?
I'm so impressed with us.
It's about time. It's a new era.
It took 100 episodes, but there you go.
But we're all the way out of the closet now, out from under the desk.
Yeah, I mean, like, we're in full view now.
Right? Hope you like what you see, guys.
And even if you don't, we're going to keep doing it.
Exactly.
Until next time, keep not hiding under the desk.
Keep thinking.
And keep reading. Bye.
Bye.